to inspirational truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, Debbie and I are thankful that you tuned in. Thankful that you made a decision to join with us this day as we look into the Word of God, as we seek to hear from heaven, as we seek to worship the Lord together. My, we want to be a blessing to you. That's our desire. We want to honor God and His words. We want to obey His call on our life. We want to be obedient to Him. But listen, folks, we want to be a blessing to you and trying to be that. And we trust that we will be. Deb's got a great song picked out for us, ready to do it here in just a moment. But I want to tell you, I'll be looking to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. The book of Philippians, right after the book of Ephesus, right before the book of Colossians, Philippians chapter 1, familiar scripture that the Lord has led me to, stirred my heart to early this morning. And I trust the message will be a blessing to you. But before I do that, here's Debbie, one of her fine songs. The title of it is, If It Were Not For His Grace, There Go I. Well, you enjoy the song, I know you will, and when Debbie's done, I'll begin looking in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Pick it up reading about verse 20. Enjoy.
If it were not for His grace, oh, there go I. And if it were not for His grace, I should have bled and died. If it were not for His grace, on the cross should have been me. And if it were not for His grace, I should have died on. You take a look around at this old sinful world. We are quickly to condemn those who cannot afford. But if you take a look at just what we see, if it were not for His grace, that could have been you and me.
Thank God for Calvary. Friend, listeners, no place like that place called Calvary. And listen, the reason it's no place like it, it's what happened there at Calvary when our Savior friend took our place, when God's Son became our substitute. We not only died for us, friend, on that cross, the place called Calvary, but He died as us. How important to that is. Well, in the book of Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 20, I'm going to read down through and include probably verse 23. The Word of God says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also shall Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I want not. Verse 23 ends and says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I'm going to talk to you a little while today about a unique man called Paul. A unique man called Paul. Man, I'm telling you what, Paul was unique in many ways. Well, listen, friend, he was just an amazing man, if I could say it that way. And these verses, friend, listen, are loaded with great truth to show the heart of Paul and to tell us, give us indications as to why the Apostle Paul was unique in many ways. Now listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know about you. I don't know how this message will affect you. I don't know how to challenge you. I don't know how to stir you. I know it's going to touch you, all of you that know Christ, and hopefully those of you that are listening that don't know Christ to understand that people have a love for God so much that they love lost sinners to a degree that they'll go a long way, friend, listen, to see people saved. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm under conviction as I preach this message, as I studied this message, as I've considered this message, because I've got so much growing to go, to do, so far to go, so little time to get there. And all free and listen, the Apostle Paul and men like him put me to shame. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And yet, friend, and yet, the Bible says, every man abide in the calling wherein he is called. But I want to talk to you about four things today. I want to talk to you about Paul's desire, Paul's declaration, Paul's deference, and Paul's determination. And we see all of those things, and even more than that, here in this great passage of Scripture. Now, as Paul was writing this letter to the church of Philippi, I want you to know that he was a prisoner. I mean, he was a prisoner, and while he was chained to those four quadrants of soldiers, while he was bound, friend, listen, do you know what the gospel was going forth? I mean to tell you, he said in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the places. Hey, it was well known by many, by multitudes, that the Apostle Paul was a prisoner. But you know what he said as he wrote another prison epistle, Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 1. He said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Listen, he might have been in chains under Caesar's edict. He might have been in chains, friend, listen, in a Roman prison or to Roman soldiers to watch over him and care for him. But he was a prisoner of the love that Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ manifests for him in coming into this world, living sinlessly among us, dying substitutionally for us, raising a victory victoriously, so that you and I could be justified by grace through faith. Hey, friend, listen, Paul was truly a unique man. You say, in what way, preacher? Well, let's look first of all at his desire. And I'm not going down through these, friend, like I read them to you, just giving them to you as God has given them to me. First of all, note his desire, if you will. His desire, in verse 23 says this, Paul said, for I am in a strait. Paul said, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm in a fix, so to speak. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But he goes on in verse 24, forgot to read that. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Isn't that amazing? Paul had a desire. Thank God Paul had a desire. He knew what it was to go to heaven. He knew what was there. He knew the joys of that place that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare. He knew what wasn't there. He knew who was there. You say, how do you get that, preacher? How do you know that? How did the Apostle Paul get such a desire? How can anybody be stirred up about a place that, they knew so little of? Hey, Paul, listen, knew something of it. You say, why? Well, he had been there. He had been there. In the book of Acts, we find while Paul was at Iconium, when he was out on the gospel trail preaching the gospel, and when he went to a place, friend, called Iconium and Lystra, you know what happened? Bless God, he was stoned. Isn't that amazing? I mean to tell you, he was stoned, and he was in such a sad shape that after they stoned him, they left him for dead. Now listen to my reason. You say, why'd they leave him for dead, preacher? Because I believe he was. I believe he had died. I believe he looked like he was dead. I believe they couldn't get a pulse. I believe there were no respirations. I believe he was dead. But oh, can I tell you something? Thank the good Lord, friend. Listen, he was more alive at that time than had ever been in his life. He said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, looking back on that period of time, looking back on that experience, he said, I know a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. But he said, listen, I know him. I know him personal. And look at what he said. He said how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which were not lawful for a man to utter. Paul had been there. Paul had been to that place where Jesus was occupying the throne of God, sitting on the right hand of the majesty on high, that place where the angels were crying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come. Paul saw the sights. I believe he heard the sounds. I believe he smelled the scents. I believe he felt the glory, felt the power, saw the beauty. And oh, Paul said, I'll tell you what, here I am at Philippi. Here I am in a prison. Here I am writing to the Philippians, not at Philippi. Here I am writing to the Philippians in this Roman imprisonment. I'm held down by Roman guards, by a Roman edict. But oh, listen, I'm in a strait. I've got a desire to go and be with the Lord, and that's far better. Believe me, being out of this place where it's sin cursed, sin touched, where the prince of the power of the air is ruling, where people are rejecting God and saying no to the advances of the Spirit of God on their heart. Paul said, I know it's far better to be in that place. Jesus said, I'm gone to prepare. But oh, listen, friend, he had a desire. You say, what was that desire, preacher? Well, I'll tell you about the difference in a minute. But had a desire, according to the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 1, that his people Israel could be saved. Now listen to what I'm going to say. We're going to pick something up out of chapter 9 and also out of chapter 10 of the book of Romans, and it has to do with the great apostles, this unique man's heart. Oh, friend, he had a heart for the things of God, had a love for his people, the children of Israel. In verse 10, in chapter 10, he said in verse 1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. Boy, I like to see my people saved. I like to see Dunbar, West Virginia saved. I like to see the state of West Virginia saved. I like to see the nation of America saved. I like to see the world saved. But look, let's be honest. Let's be honest, friend, how great is that desire. Paul's desire was so great, he said this in verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. You say, what's that sorrow for, preacher? Well, that his people Israel might be saved, that their eyes might be opened, that their ears might be opened, that their hearts might be opened. They received the truth of the Word of God. And Paul said, my desire for them is so great. He said in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. You say, what does he mean, preacher? Paul was saying something that's unique, absolutely amazing. Hey, friend, it's no wonder how people put Paul on the pedestal like they do, thinking and proclaim and testify to the fact. They believe he was the greatest man after Christ that ever walked planet Earth and carried the gospel. Paul said, I'll tell you how much I'd like to see my people saved. I'd like to see them saved so greatly that if it were possible, I would be accursed in their place away from God if they could be saved in my place. Oh, wait just a minute, friend. I've got some growing to do. I need to look at my heart. Oh, friend, I come way short to this unique man by the name of the Apostle Paul. Moses prayed that prayer in Exodus 32. It was very similar to that, but only one man by the name of Jesus was able to give his life for another. Only Jesus was able to do that. Oh, thank God for Paul's desire. I need to work on mine. You'll have to decide about yours. But he goes on with the declaration in verse 20. He said, listen, he said, according to my expectation, my hope, that is in nothing I shall be ashamed, so that now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, listen, if I live, I want Christ to be seen. If I die, I want Christ to be seen in my death. Paul was saying, whether I live or whether I die, I want to magnify Christ. I want to bring him close. I want people to see him through me. I want to be the right kind of ambassador. I want to be the right kind of little Christ. I want to be so Christ-like that when people see me, they think they're seeing a little Christ. Isn't that amazing? Oh, friend, how I need to grow. How I need to become more like my Savior. Paul has given us a great desire, and it's a challenging testimony that this great converted Pharisee had. Oh, friend, and then he tells us what his declaration is, his desire, his duty he felt, friend, that was to make men or Christ known to men. Listen, that's our desire, should it not be? That should be our declaration, whether I'm alive or, hey, listen, we're all going to die. You live long enough, you're going to die, friend. And we don't know when that time will be. God was gracious enough to keep it from us. But I'll tell you what, we can be prepared for it, and we can glorify Him in death or in life. I want to do that, don't you? I want to live in such a way that others will see Christ in me. And if I must go by the way of the grave before the church is snatched away, I want to glorify Him in my death. Not just in my living, but in my death. But let's go on. Look at what he tells us. Look at what he tells us in verse 23. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Hey, listen, this is an amazing verse. I mean to tell you, to me, this is an amazing verse. And you say, why, preacher? Well, look, I've told you about Paul's desire. He was willing to die and go to hell. If that meant his people Israel, his kinfolk, his relationship, the nation that he belonged to, could be saved, Paul was willing to be their substitute, to be their, to take their place. If that could be true, but we know it couldn't happen. Paul had a great desire to see his people saved. Hey, we talked about the declaration, whether in life or death, he wanted Christ to be seen. But here in his deference, you say, what in the world is his deference, preacher? What does deference mean? Well, you know what deference means? It means yielding. It means yielding to another's desire or needs. Now listen to what Paul said, for I am in a strait betwixt two. He said, look, look, I've been to heaven. I've already told you that. I've seen that place. I've heard the signs of the sounds of that place. I've seen the sights of that place. And oh, listen, I've seen the one who made it possible to go to that place. I've got a desire to be there. My heart stirred toward it. My longings are caught up by it. That's the place I want to go. That's the place I want to be. But wait just a minute. Here I am writing to the Philippians. They need to mature in Christ. They need to grow in His grace and in His knowledge. They need to get to the place, like He told the church of Galatia, that Christ is formed in them. And Paul said, here's what I'm going to show you my deference about. I'm going to yield to their need more than my desire. Paul said, hey, I want to go there. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be out of this body that's scarred and bruised and battered and bludgeoned and beaten. I want to be out of this place where Christ is rejected, where the gospel is scoffed and mocked, and where, friend, listen, God's men carrying the great news of the gospel, are rejected and laughed at and mocked. How? But he said, wait just a minute. If they can grow, if this people at Philippi can grow, if they could have more of Christ formed in them, if they can go deeper in the Word of God, if they can just plant their roots deeper in the truths of that book, they can grow higher, if their branches can grow broader, they can bear fruit for the glory of God. Hey, listen, it doesn't matter what I want. Paul said, I'm willing to defer what I want to be what I need to be for the glory of God and for the good of somebody else. Oh, isn't that a great desire? Yielding to somebody else's needs over his desire. But wait just a minute. You say, what made all of that possible, preacher? What in the world made all that possible? Well, I'll tell you what it was. It was his determination. Look at verse 21. Paul said, I've decided a long time ago, after I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, after that man, the only man that could have turned me around, the only man that could have convinced me that I was wrong in doing what I was doing as a Pharisee, I'm trying to do away with Christianity. Paul said, I met a man. He had the prints of nails in his hands and in his feet. Listen, he had the glory of God upon him, brighter than the sun that shined in the noonday. He had a voice that demanded that I hear him. And yet, though I had tried to slay those who proclaimed him, when I heard his voice, I called him Lord and said, what would thou have me to do? Oh, sinner friend. Oh, Christian brother or sister. Paul had a determination to make Christ known in this world, to make Christ known far and wide. He would go to places, friend, that he was sure that he was not building upon another man's foundation. I mean, to tell you, he was an explorer, so to speak. I mean, to tell you, he forged new roads. I mean, he went to places where the gospel had not been preached and where the good news of Jesus Christ had never been spoken. He told them, he told those folks down at Corinth. You'll read it in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, maybe verse 2. He had a determination. And you know what that was? Was to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hey, friend, listen. He had a message that had life in it, that produced life. Oh, the message itself was alive. He was talking about a Savior who had died, who had lived, born of a virgin, who lived sinless, who died substitutionally for us, who was buried, and on the third and appointed morning became alive again, and He's alive forevermore. Thank God. Paul tells us, listen, his determination in verse 10 of chapter 3 of this same epistle to the Philippians, he said was to know Christ. And he says three other things in that verse. But he said, now listen, I'm determined to apprehend that which for which I am apprehended of. In verses, what is it? Maybe 12, 13 and 14. Let me turn a page and find out. 12 and 13. He said, now listen, I tell you in verse 12, I've not yet attained that for which I've He said, I've not already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of. You know what Paul said? Paul said, something's got a hold of me, and I've got a hold of it. Now, I don't have a hold of it like it's got a hold of me, but Paul said, I'm pursuing it. Paul said, I haven't arrived, but I have left the station. And he said, I'm not counting myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, I'm determined to forget those things that are behind. I'm determined, friend, to not let my past get in front of my future. I'm determined by the grace of God that I'm going to reach forth to those things which are before. Paul said, I'm going to stick my neck out. Paul said, I'm going to run. Paul said, I'm going to give it all to God. Tell you what, he knew where he was going and he had a determination, did he not? Thank God. I need more of that, friend. I don't know about you, but I need more of that. I need to have the desire, friend, listen, to see people saved. I need to make a declaration of whether I live or whether I die, Christ is going to be seen. I want you to know I need to defer to others' needs over mine, and I need to determine that heaven's my home, friend, listen, regardless of what this world has. Hey, Paul was truly a unique man. Until the next time, may God bless you.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.